All right, so this is a completely unplanned and unstructured little thought spew on the things I do that I consider quote-unquote travel hacking. So I think about maybe 10 years ago, like I'm at this point in my life right now where everything started 10 years ago, which is kind of a fun thing. I remember Jeffrey Way saying the word decade a lot, maybe 5 years ago, because I don't know how much, I guess I do know how much older he is than me, but I remember him saying like, you know, I've been at this a decade, you know, and it's like, I'm at that age right now where everything was a decade ago for me. I think I met my wife a decade ago, started dating her, met her a long time before then, but started dating my wife a decade ago. I started investing about a decade ago. I started planning, I started travel hacking, getting into credit cards and stuff like a decade ago. A lot of things a decade ago. Got into programming, like professionally, at a real professional programming job, not just hacking and side projects, a decade ago. So yeah, that's all things that happened a decade ago for me. But travel hacking is one of those things. And here's the cool thing about travel hacking. I don't know, some random thoughts. And basically what I mean by travel hacking is acquiring points and spending them. So there's two sides here. There's acquiring them and learning the ins and outs of that. And then there's the other side, which is spending them. I would say the acquiring side is much easier than the spending them side. At least I found it that way. But they both have their challenges, for sure. They definitely both have their challenges. So I'm a points millionaire. I have, I can tell you how many points I have because it's not like, you know, it's cool, but it's not like bragging about actual money, you know, because it's, I mean, if I like cashed out all the points I have right now, I might have like $30,000 in cash, which is pretty cool. But, you know, it's not like saying you have $1 million. It's $30,000. It's kind of small potatoes when it comes to like a person or personal portfolio, you know. But let's just see, like if you have 1 million Chase points, you can take them out for cash. So let's say 1 million. I mean, this is the easiest math ever, but I'm pulling out a calculator anyway. Times a cent. Yeah, that's $10,000. So I have 1 million, over 1 million, like maybe 1.3 or something Chase points. And then I have a bunch of like piles of points in other cards, like Citi thank you points and Hyatt points, Marriott points, Southwest points, Delta points, United points, and then other cards, Amex points. What did I miss? Capital One Venture points. And I'm sure there's even others. So because over the years, I've just opened a ton of these cards. So maybe let me just brief recap the road to getting points. And I think I remember the first thing I had to do was open a credit card in period. I needed to build credit. So at the bank I had, you could get this. I've since learned hacks that make this much easier, but I didn't know them at the time. So I was like, you know, in college, I guess, fresh out of high school. And I was like, I want to build good credit because I want to get a good credit card that I can start building points. So the first thing I did is I got a checking account. Then with the checking account, I got like a co-branded card. It's like technically a credit card, but it had like a $150 limit or something like that. And it is like tied to your checking account and whatever. It's just so that you can build credit. And so I did that, spent on it, paid it off on time, and did that for like a year or two or something. Had good enough credit to get my first Chase card. And that was Chase, at the time it was now it's the Chase Flex, but it was the Chase Freedom card. Like a good entry-level basic card. You know what? That's not even true, I don't think. I think I had to go through some cash cards first. Like ones that are just give you like I don't know, whatever. There's a whole tier of these like easy cards that you don't need good credit to get, that you get like $200 or $300 back when you spend, you know, a certain amount in the first 3 months, and they don't have any annual fees or whatever. So I opened those. That was like the first tier of cards. I did that. I did that a bunch of other times. I remember going on a spree one time, and I don't remember at which point this was, but I was like, oh, you can just sign up for these cards and get free money basically. So I signed up for like five or six of them. And it was like, There's the double cash one. There's pretty much every brand of cart has their version of this. And even like Amazon was given like $150 or $200 for opening an Amazon card. So I just opened a bunch of these cards, got all the cash bonuses, and then closed them all. And thought I was like really smart because I was like, oh, I just made like $1,000 for doing nothing. But when you do that, you hurt your chances of getting the cards you want. Like Chase has this 524 rule that's like you can only open five cards in 24. You can only apply for five cards in 24 months, or maybe hold five. I don't know. One of those. And then, so basically you're screwed for 2 years. So I was on like this hot trail, and then I got screwed for 2 years with Chase. And Chase, not only just the Chase cards, but the Chase co-branded cards. So that Southwest cards are Chase cards, Marriott cards are Chase cards. So you're screwed over for a lot of cards when you're screwed over with Chase. So I screwed myself by opening a ton of cards, and I learned that lesson the hard way and just had to wait. That's another thing is like when you mess up in this game, you got to wait a long time, and that sucks. And I've had to do that for sure. Like I got into this Marriott card game, and then, but now it's like you get the sign up bonus, but you can't apply for that card again until you've closed it and waited for 2 years. So, and sometimes you don't have the foresight to do that. And it's like, my wife actually has a Marriott card open right now that I wish we had closed 2 years ago, but we didn't. I really should close it now. So, okay. So the road to get points is basically signup bonuses. It's all about signup bonuses. You probably know that. And yeah, like I said, like the first tier of card is these cheap cash signup bonuses. And that's cool to build your credit, but that's not where you get the value because points in general are worth a penny for cash. But if you redeem them for travel, they can be worth much more. So like I just booked a trip. I actually ended up booking the specific hotel with cash, but I looked to see like what it would cost me in points. And if I had paid points for this stay, it would be, I'd get 2.3 cents per point, which is way more than a penny, you know, it's more than double. It was like double and a half, like 250% of the value of just doing the cash. So that's huge when you get up there with the points. So that means like your $10,000 in cash, you can make worth $20,000 or $30,000 just by redeeding points in a better way. And the better way to redeem points is travel. That's the other thing. So, which is like a pitfall of travel hacking because it like in some ways it saves you. If you already have travel built into your life, it's going to save you money. But it will also like get you into travel, and then you'll start traveling at times or in ways that you wouldn't have otherwise. And you might just be net poorer, but you will have traveled more. So whatever, there's that. So let's keep going. So the road there, the first tier is that cash crap. Then the second tier is like when you get into the good stuff, where you do these sign up bonuses for all these mid-tier cards, like a Chase Preferred, and a Capital One Venture, and you know it's hard for me to like remember all these off the top of my head, but there's like a Hyatt, World of Hyatt brand co-branded card, there's a Marriott card, there's Southwest like Premier, stuff like that. That whole tier of cards, City Premier, those are all mid-range. You like once you have like decent credit, it's not that hard to get them. And they often have fees, sometimes don't, but a lot of them have $95 a year fees. And then you get pretty fat bonuses, 50 to 100,000 points for opening them and then spending like something between like 3 and 6,000. The minimum spends are going up. Like when I started this game, it was like, oh, spend $2,000 in the first 3 months. Now a lot of them are like $6,000. And it varies pretty wildly now. And some of the minimum spends get ridiculous. So you get those mid-tier cards, you build up a bunch of points with these 50,000, 100,000 bonuses. So what's 50,000 points? It's like $500. 0.01. Yeah. So that's like $500 cash or like $1,000. So you get in this like $500, $1,000, which is cool because you can just take that out as cash if you want. That's like free money. So yeah, you open those, you get those bonuses, you close them, and you just kind of keep, you can just keep that going. And that's what I did for a long time. Then there's the top tier. Well, not the top, but kind of top, is Chase Sapphire Reserve, Amex Platinum. These cards that have like $400 to $600 to $700 a year fees just to hold them. They have a bunch of perks, like strong perks. They get you access to these wild lounges. You get like TSA pre-check and all, you know, international stuff and like credits on DoorDash and all of these perks that you get with these big cards. Their bonuses are higher. The minimum spends are much higher. Yeah. So I have the Chase Sapphire Reserve. I've had that for a long time and I love it. It gives you tons of perks, but it's like $300 or $400 a year, but they give you like a $300 travel credit. So it's, there's a lot of ways that it pays itself off, and it saves me a bunch of money on DoorDash too, which I shouldn't use as much as I do. So that's the ladder. That's like climbing the ladder to get the points. And there's all sorts of pitfalls along the way. And I'd say the biggest ones are, forgetting to close cards and just leaving them open and paying those yearly fees for way too long, because you don't want to just close them, because a lot of them you'll lose your points. Like if you have an Amex card, you open the Amex Gold or something, you get rack up a bunch of points from that sign up bonus, and then you don't transfer them or use them and you close your card, you'll lose those points in like 90 days, I think. So every like card issuer is different in how long they'll let you wait to expire your points. Some don't even expire your points. Like Southwest is pretty good about that. I think they just let you keep them for pretty much ever. But yeah, so there's always this like low level of fear, and it's not like written clearly places. So it's basically when you're disorganized. If you're disorganized, there's way more pitfalls in this game. Obviously, if you have a credit problem, like if you are the type of person who will actually use credit cards as like a form of lending, that's a big issue, you know, because the fees on these cards are like 20% interest almost, you know, on a lot of these. So that's like absurdly high, you know, that's disgusting. So you're going to hurt yourself financially if you use them to actually carry debt, you know. So that's kind of just a given at the outright, is just not using these things to carry debt. But it almost feels like childish to like tell people that, or like patronizing or something, because it's like, well, obviously you know that, but some people don't. And I think it is worth noting, because I've actually experienced this in my personal life where, you know, you become this travel hacker, you start doing these like crazy trips that are totally free, and your friends are like, what, how are you doing that? It's like, oh, just playing the credit card game. And then they get into it, but they're not ready for it. So like I've done this with people where I've been like, no, seriously, just open this card and then you'll have all these points and you can use them for this. And that's just great. And then I've later found out that they, you know, have carried debt on them. And that's like, well, that's just defeating the purpose. You're losing money. So obviously you got to be responsible with this stuff. So that's like one pitfall, is actually using these cards poorly. Another pitfall is doing things to meet minimum spends you wouldn't have normally done. I think like this one is pretty hard to get around, and I think most people are decent at it, but there are like subconscious weird things when you're trying to meet a minimum spend to get a big pile of points. Like in the back of your head, you're like, oh, well, I probably was going to buy like a new MacBook next year, but if I do it right now, then I can get this minimum spend. So I'll just do it right now. Where like maybe you would have held off 2 years. Maybe you wouldn't have got that new MacBook. Maybe you would have bought it used, you know? So there's those kinds of things that can be a pitfall. But yeah, it's like canceling cards and losing points, or not canceling the cards and paying the fees too long after, missing payments, not setting up auto pay. Chase is weird. I've set up auto pay like, and sometimes it just disables it randomly. And I'll realize like, oh my gosh, I actually like held a balance for a month, you know, because I go to pay it and it's like, oh, I just missed a payment, you know? So making sure you have auto pay on everything is like crucial, because you might think, oh, I'm not even using the card. So you forget to check it, but then the annual fee hits and now you owe $95 and you don't even know it because you have 20 cards open, and now you're just missing payments on these $95 balances. And the interest doesn't matter that much, but it's going to ruin your credit score because it looks like missed payments. So that's an issue. So those are tricky things. Basically managing all these different things. And the only way to do it is a spreadsheet. Create a spreadsheet of every card that you have opened, and you write down all the things about the card, the minimum spends, the point redemptions, like you get 3 points per dollar at restaurants and 1 point at everything else. Like, you know, noting all of that, noting the date you opened it, noting the date that the annual fee happens, noting the amount of the annual fee. So like really important things to take note of. And what else? There's probably other things, but those are really the biggies, is putting all that stuff down to paper. And then having a plan for when you're closing these things and when you're reopening, you know? So that's another secret to success. Credit Karma is an incredible tool. If you don't use Credit Karma, it's awesome. You need to use Credit Karma. Just go sign up. It's free. It's always been an incredible tool for me. You can just go and it'll just show you your credit score. It will show you from like the three or at least the two, like Equifax and TransUnion, I think it'll show your credit score. It'll show you how many lines are open on your credit. So it's like a way of looking to make sure, like you might forget you have a card open. You might not realize like what a loan you have open, a school, but you just go and it'll show you like every open credit line for your person in the United States, you know? I don't know what the international equivalents are. I don't know about anything about credit internationally, but it'll show you like, okay, you have an Amex card open, you have two Chase cards open, you have a student loan, you have a mortgage, you know, and it'll show you all those things, which is really cool. And then it'll show you like your score and what goes, it'll give you a score breakdown and all the different factors. Here's one hack, you know, while we're at it, is if you have like kind of a crappy credit score, like I found, you know, a really big weight for your credit score is your credit age, your age of credit history. So if you are brand new to credit, you open your card for the first time, your credit score is going to be low. You're going to have a perfect score for how, you're going to have a perfect score for like credit history, because you will have, you know, not had that many opportunities to mess up. But the two things that'll hurt you is your credit age, because you have really young credit and that'll hurt you. And then also your credit limit matters. How basically your credit utilization, which is if you have, how much credit do you have available that you're not using, is of an important factor. That's what it is. So if you're brand new to credit stuff, you probably have like a credit card with, I don't know, like a $5,000 limit or something. And that's not just not that high. So they're like, oh, this guy only has $5,000 of credit. But when you get into the bigger cards and you get like $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 limits on these cards, maybe even more, I don't know. And you pay them off every month and you make sure that like the balances are zero or really close to zero. That's something, is like, you might think you might pay off your balance every month, but when the statement hits, it hits at like $3,000 and then you pay it. You ideally want to pay it off before that statement hits, because they're going to look at that $3,000 and they're not going to think of it as a missed payment. They're just going to think of it as he's used $3,000 of his $5,000 available. And that's not a good percentage of utilization. So yeah, there's all these different factors that go into it and ways to play the game. But the fortunate thing is you just sign up for Credit Karma and they show you the factors and they show you like what's good and what's bad. So the hot tip that I was just mentioning is, so I did this, my wife had a card from her mom or something like from forever ago. So when we got married, I added her card. She added me as a person on the card. So when it logged on, it was like add a card user, and they sent me a card with my name on it under her account. And my credit score, you know, one of the biggest factors is credit age. I just inherited the entire age of that card. So it was like 7 years. So I went from like a 2-year-old credit history to like a 7-year-old, or it's an average. So they basically take that credit age of every line of credit and then they average it, and that's your credit age or history, whatever, for your credit score, which is another thing where when you open a ton of new cards, you're washing out that average and you're really lowering your credit age, which can hurt your score. So you want to have like deep anchors, like multiple cards that have been open forever and don't have any fees, and you just leave them open. That's huge. Like, don't close old cards. Keep your old cards open as an anchor for your credit score. So I still have that Discover card. Its age is like well over 10 years. And the thing is like, you don't even need to have the card. So if you're young, just ask your parents, like, can you add me as a person on one of your old credit cards? And you keep the card, cut it up. It doesn't matter. I'm never going to use it, but I just want that on my credit score. And you can literally like juice up your credit score in an insane way. Like, it's nuts. You can go from 0 to 100. Obviously those aren't credit scores, but you can go from, you know, like from nothing to probably in the 700s for your credit score, which is crazy. And I wish I would have known that. So that's a big credit hack. What else on the ramp up to, I mean, we're almost at like 20 minutes, but what else on the, maybe I'll just make this a giant episode, like an hour. I don't know. I got nothing else to do. It's a Saturday morning. Family's out of the house. So yeah. So that's the ramp up. What else can I tell you? Oh, here's a good strategy. The chase trifecta is what it's called, where you have the chase freedom unlimited. So this card's awesome. There's no fee. It's easy to get. This is my favorite credit card, the Chase Freedom Unlimited. You get 1.5 points on all purchases for, you know, per dollar that you spend on all purchases. So it's just great because a lot of things have higher than that, but then just for specific categories. And then the baseline is 1%. And there's some cards like the Double Cash can give you 2% and for like a certain amount. But no, the best thing to do in life is to open a Chase Freedom Unlimited and default to spending all your spending goes on to that card. Okay, that's the Chase Freedom Unlimited. Then you get the Chase, I think it's called the Chase Flex now. It was just the plain Freedom before. That's the second card. This is an optional step, but this is part of the Chase Trifecta. It's going to give you a roving categories every quarter. So every 3 months, there's going to be like three categories of shopping. It'll be like groceries and Target this month. Will be that every dollar you spend on those, you get 5 points. And then everything else is 1 point. So you just note that every quarter you look at, you have to actually like accept that thing. Like every quarter you have to click a button that says, you know, accept the high points, whatever. And then you write down like, okay, you know, Hannah, my wife, like this quarter for the next like foreseeable future, I used to write on like masking tape and stick them on the cards of like what you're spending where. But yeah, Hannah, for groceries this month, or this quarter, or whatever, we're using the Chase Flex. So do that. And then the next quarter, it'll be like, often like towards the holidays, actually, they'll include Amazon. They used to do this. They used to include Amazon. And it's up to $1,500 spending to get those points. So for $1,500, you can get 5 points back on that $1,500, which is what? So $1,500 times 0.05 is you'd get $75 for free, which maybe doesn't sound like a lot, but let's see, that's an instant 5% return. So it's, you know, if you're like jazzed about your bank account that gets you a 5% return, like you can get 10% return. If you have like $1,500 in a savings account right now with 5%, that's cool. And then you can also take that $1,500 after, you know, having it a month and accruing that, you can spend it on Amazon for Christmas stuff or whatever, or a new appliance, and then get an extra 5%. So you just took that $1,500 and you got in, well, I guess the 5% wouldn't hit in 1 month. Right. That's the other cool thing about these cards. Think about them when it seems like small potatoes, like what I just described, you have $1,500 and you get $75 for free. If it doesn't feel like that matters to you, I think one thing that has helped me a ton in money everything is not thinking about dollar amounts as much as you can. Just think about percentages. Well, you want to think about both, but the thing is you're going to default to always thinking in dollar amounts. Going 75 is not that big of a deal. But when you start thinking in percentages, you go, an instant 5% yield is huge. Because like even just the savings accounts, which have these savings accounts right now have these nuts returns, these 5% returns. Which is awesome. If you don't have one, open a Synchrony bank account or Ally is another one. There's plenty of them. Wealthfront, maybe. I don't know. Go open one. They give you 5% return, but that's an annual return. So if you have $1,500 in your bank account, in that savings account, you're going to get $75 back, but that's at the end of the year. They'll pay it out every month and you'll get $6.25 per month for holding that money in there. Where these points, when you get these returns on these points, it's instant. So you just got a 5% return overnight, not an annualized return, which is awesome. And when you think about opening these credit cards, remember I told you like you get like 50,000 points pretty easily with these cards. So if you spend, you know, $3,000 on one of these new cards, so let's say that's the minimum spend, 3,000. So 500 divided by 3,000 is, that's a 16.6% return on your investment overnight. Like, where does that happen? You're never going to find a better investment than you. I always try to remind myself of that. It's like you get amped about the stock market or your savings account rate or some CD or money market thing. And it's like, oh yeah, I get this rate of return. It's like, or you bought Nvidia stock and you're like, I mean, that's actually probably better than any credit card can do right now, but whatever. You buy stock, you do something, you're like really amped about your 10% annualized return. How about a 16.6% return on $3,000 right now? Like right now, instant, you just get it. That's crazy. and then you can keep playing this game and make that a much bigger annual return, which is just crazy awesome. So, and like I said, you can just spend these points in cash, and then they actually are just investments, not just points to redeem for travel that you wouldn't have already, you know, paid for. So, okay, so let's keep going, not get too confused. We're talking about the ramp up. We're talking about all the credit cards along the way. We're talking about pitfalls. Got to stay organized. Yeah, so lost my train of thought, but at least I have this framework of like talking about earning points that we could talk about climbing down the ladder. But what else? What else is there to talk about with earning points? Oh, we're talking about the Chase Trifecta. So you get the Chase Freedom Unlimited, spend everything there, the Chase Flex, you spend different roving quarters, and then you get the Chase Sapphire Preferred or Reserved. And those are kind of the higher tier cards. The Reserved, I told you, is like, they're both metal cards, so that's fun. Show off to your friends that you have like a heavy metal card. It just feels cool. Remember that was like a moment for me, you know, when I got my first metal card. It was like, oh yeah, I'm living. So you get one of those cards, and the reason you get one of these high tier cards is because what they allow you to do is transfer your points out of Chase into other travel partners like international airlines, and that's where you get the big point values. You get those like lay down seats traveling internationally. That's a goal of mine. I've never done it. I did just book first class tickets with points, which is pretty fun, but that's just like domestic and small international, like the, you know, Caribbean or whatever. But if you want to like go to Europe or just go across an ocean, go to Japan with lay down seats and, you know, drinks and everything where you just like feel like a king, you can do that. They're United. That's when you see like pictures of people doing that. Generally, it's United business class. It's called the Polaris is their business class that does that, and it looks really awesome. And they have times where a flight with those lay down seats is 100,000 points. So if you can get 400,000 Chase points, you can fly you and your spouse round trip to Japan in lay down seats, which is pretty cool. And So that's the reason why you want like a high tier card, like a Chase Sapphire Preferred or Reserve, because it allows you to take the points you're earning on those other small tier cards, the Unlimited and the Flex, and corral them. You can transfer them between cards now because you can even transfer your spouse's points over to your points if she has Chase cards. Like Hannah has the same thing. She's got the same trifecta going. We each have a trifecta going. So she would get those bonuses on her cards, and then I transfer them over to my cards and put them all onto one card. Now they're all in one place, and then I can take that and I can transfer them. You can book Chase Travel, and when you have those high tier cards, instead of them being worth 1 point or 1 cent, you can make them worth 1.5 when you're redeeming them on Chase Travel. But you can do better than that when you transfer them to other partners like Hyatt. Like Chase points are, I mean, this is the most scatterbrained financial thing ever. I'm so sorry. But Chase points are the most valuable points. And the reason why is because they transfer everywhere. Amex points suck. You can't transfer Amex to United. You can't transfer Amex to Hyatt. And I know that because those are two places I wanted to transfer points in the past week. And I couldn't. I have these Amex points that are just sitting there. And I need to close a card. I need to get them out of there. But I don't want to put them somewhere I'm not going to use them. And you can't transfer them to places you want to transfer them. But Chase points transfer freaking everywhere. Tons of international airlines, tons of them, and tons of domestic airlines, Southwest, Delta. They're just transferable everywhere. It's like Chase points are wildcard points. They are Delta SkyMiles points. They are Citi thank you points. Maybe they can even transfer to Amex. Who knows? They can transfer to most hotels, which is just awesome because you could book like all-inclusive hotel stays with your Chase points. So yeah, you're really the only thing that you should take away from this is get Chase points and get a lot of them. Do the trifecta like I'm describing, but there's other opportunities to get Chase points, but they're so valuable. And then once you dry up the Chase well, go on a spree and do all the other cards and then start transferring those, whatever. And then go back to Chase when your time has passed and you can open more Chase cards, you know? And then there's like another ceiling. We're still talking about the way up. There's another ceiling to bust through, and that's when you get a business. And you can create, I think you can get business cards without actually technically having a business, but it sure helps if you have an LLC and a business checking account. So if you have like a side thing, a side hustle or whatever, you can get these business cards, and they have higher spends, but they also have higher rewards. I just opened the Chase Inc. Business Preferred, I think that's a mouthful. And the reward was like, I think it's like 150,000 points maybe, which is huge. Also, by the way, there's a Marriott thing that I'm planning on doing soon. It ends in like a week. There's a Marriott promotion for a Marriott card that gives you 250,000 points back, which is nuts. It doesn't actually give you that amount of points. It gives you 5 free nights for the year. So if you open this card and you meet the minimum spend, which is like nothing, and I think the annual fee is like 95 or something, open the Marriott Bonvoy card. Marriott Bonvoy Boundless is the card. You open this card in the next week or two, you get 5 free nights for the year and then 1 free night every year. This card is such an unsung hero of credit cards to me, because a lot of what you read is Chase cards are what's up, and then like Amex cards and Citi and, you know, all these cards, that's what you'll read. And then you read about flight cards, because, you know, airline partner cards are also valuable. Southwest cards, you get the companion pass, like there's all sorts of cool flight cards. But you don't hear a lot about hotel cards. People kind of snoots on them. And honestly, the most enjoyment I've had from travel hacking is from my Marriott card. It's from hotel cards, because their points like aren't that valuable, but they can become very valuable and get you premium stays at places you would not have stayed. We've stayed in penthouse suites in Vail. We've stayed in really cool places. Like we've stayed in Nashville, cool place, like so many cities. We've stayed in really awesome places on Marriott's dime. So you open this Marriott Bonvoy Boundless card, you get 5 free nights. And those 5 free nights can be redeemed for, I think, up to 50,000 points. And the thing about 50,000 points is it can be very different. And that's the fun of hunting Marriott, to find when you can get certain. So right now, I'm actually just booked. This is nuts. This is so nuts. I just booked a trip for my wife. Now, don't say anything about it, because it's actually a complete surprise to her. It's a big risk that I'm even talking about it here. But booking a trip for her, it's our baby moon for our second baby. And the rooms that I'm booking are pretty pricey. And it's 5 nights. We're doing 5 nights and they're pricey. And I'm spending I'll just tell you, for the whole, like just the rooms for those 5 nights, I'm spending like $7,700. So almost like $8,000 for 5 nights. It's an all-inclusive place. It's a really nice place, whatever. And depending on your level of wealth and how often you do things like this, that might not be a huge deal to you. But you can, of course, do all-inclusive international stays much cheaper than $8,000. But again, it's a premium place. I'm excited about it. But if I had Hyatt points, each of those nights right now costs $58,000, and it's a swanky place. Like you can even get like swim up suites and stuff. 58,000 points. Did I say dollars? 58,000 points per night right now. But there are other times during the year where it's 50,000 and then it goes down to like 42,000. So that what I just described to you, that Marriott situation, sometimes I bet I could look right now online and find all-inclusive resorts that you could get nights for 50,000 points. So you can sign up for this credit card, spend some measly $3,000 and literally get like a 5-night trip in an all-inclusive resort for you and your spouse for free, which is crazy and so cool. So anyway, yeah, Marriott points are awesome and you can get a really killer card right now. And I am almost 100% positive that I'm going to do it like in the next 2 or 3 days. So this is also, sorry if you're listening to this not in the next few weeks, but it doesn't matter, because that Bonvoy Boundless card is just awesome to have any time of year. Like just go get it and get the 2 or 3 free nights they give you normally, and that's great. That's another thing I've learned, is these cards have promotions at random times, and so really you just want to keep your ears open, your eyes open, your ears peeled, one of them peeled. You want to keep your nose open for these promotions, because there are things like, I hustled so hard like 10 years ago to get the Southwest Companion Pass, which allows you, when you're flying Southwest, you get to bring a partner for free. They fly for free. They just pay the $20 in like fees or something, which is awesome. And that was my first goal. And we've done this twice. So for 2 years early on in our marriage, we had Companion Pass, but it was really hard to get. And it was a whole play. It was this big play, real strategic, crazy situation. I think 4 years actually, because you can play it where you get a full year plus the year left when you get it. So you time it perfectly so that you get 2 years out of one companion pass. Super cool, whatever. This was like my biggest travel hacking feat to date. Now they give it out like candy. Like there's, I think like literally right now, I think there's a Southwest companion pass promotion where you just like sign up for a card, meet a minimum spend and get the companion pass, which is crazy. So things change. The landscape changes. Like right now, companion pass is way easier to get than it used to be. But there's other things, like I've mentioned, that gravy stops. You know, there's deals that used to exist that don't anymore. Points used to be worth more than they are in some senses. And then, well, actually, the thing, like points are also subject to inflation the same way that dollars are. So that kind of stinks. That like, you know, as prices, dollar prices of things go up, your points, things are going to, so as your, if your points are sitting in your account, they're rotting at the rate of travel inflation, which stinks. And with cash, you can have your cash in a inflation protected, in some sort of inflation hedge, like a high yield savings account at minimum, or, you know, the stock market or bonds or something. But your points, you can't have those in an investment. So it actually makes sense to kind of spend your, to not like hold on to your points forever. So I think I've made a mistake. I'm a points hoarder, for sure. I'm just now like getting back to spending them, at least the Chase points. I've always just hoarded them thinking I'm going to save these for a killer Japan trip. And I am like, the big plan is in the next, I think for our 10 year, we're going to Hawaii, and I'm sure we'll use points for that. But at some point in the next 5 to 10 years, we're going to take a Japan cherry blossom Asian trip for weeks and weeks and fly and stay with points. My friend, a good friend of mine who's into this stuff, right? He's actually in Japan right now, and he flew there laying down, sleeping like a baby, visiting his boyfriend and eating like, you know, meals, you know, just like walking down the aisle to like go visit. Yeah. Probably shouldn't say their names. So anyway, pretty cool. And Chase allows you to do this, and he did it all through Chase. And I think actually through Amex as well. So yeah, I could talk all day about this stuff, obviously. That's the way up. That's the way up. I told you it's a long episode. The way down is tricky. Because here's the thing, it's easy to redeem your points for cash. Like some, I think you can even get like checks of cash, but for the most part, they'll just apply like statement credit. So if you have a Chase card, you do your spending on that. You can just like pay for your credit card that month or apply $500 to your credit statement. And that's that. So you get cash. So no matter what, you at least have cash for your points, which is good. So that's like a good safe bet, but it gets harder as you go up from there. Because then there's like the next best thing to do is redeem through Chase Travel, and then you get that 1.5 instead of just one. So that's good. And then I told you hotels are cool. I learned that. Do hotels, do Marriott, do Hyatt. You don't realize that they're not just talking about you're on a, when we're just road trip traveling, we're staying in hotels, we don't use points for that. We stay at cheap hotels on hotels.com, and we just, you know, between like $80 and $200. And we just pick something that's like going to be clean and fine because it's for the utility of it. And that's what we do when we're doing basic, you know, you're going to like a wedding a couple hours away or something. You stay in a hotel. It's like just easy peasy, not a big thing. But what these are is resorts and stuff. You can stay at big resort stuff, not just Red Roof Inns. So that's what it's all about with those hotel points. Okay, so that's great. So just to stay on track here, we're walking down the mountain. The first thing is get cash. Second thing is hotels are awesome. But the big kahuna is when you redeem for international flights. You can redeem for domestic flights, and that's cool. I just did it. Well, this flight was actually international, but not like a faraway country. So redeeming for international overseas flights is where... So this is the hard part about redemption. It's black magic. There's a secret club of people who understand how to do this, and you're not in it, and you can't understand why it's so hard to figure out and understand. And then you realize, you hit a moment of realization where you go, oh, it's so hard to understand, and there's so few resources on it, and it's such a moving target, because if it wasn't, everybody would do it, and then the airlines wouldn't have these awesome situations. So really, you have to apply your brain big time to get big money out of your points, to turn those points into, you know, what, like not just 1 cent, but 2 cents, 3 cents, 4 cents, 5 cents, and to start doing wild things like, you know, laying, there's, I mean, having like your own hotel room on an airplane, you can do that. Singapore Air has the Chris Flyer, whatever, and they have these suites that are like literally hotel rooms. You might even have your own bathroom, and you, but you have your own room on a plane, and you can just like walk down to the bar on the plane, and you can do all this with points. And people do this as like stunts, you know, like you see this on the points guys, like a decent resource. It's kind of, it's pretty marketed out right now, but yeah, the points guy is a great resource for stuff. I should tell you resources. I haven't really told you resources, but points guy is a good one. The best one for like looking at credit card deals at the given time, I think, is Mad Fiantist credit card search tool. So just search Mad Fiantist credit card and you'll find it. It's a no BS, little portal. Mr. Money Mustache one, I'm not a huge fan of. He farmed it out to somebody else and it's not great. But between the points guy and the Mad Fiantist one, I think you're pretty set. And then Reddit is the way to go. Reddit has all the hot news for stuff. But yeah, when you want to redeem in the big stuff, it is so difficult. You start hearing about things like reward charts and you're like, what is a reward chart? And where do I find these reward charts? You're like, it just feels like, it feels like you have to sit there on your computer for weeks on end, pretend booking trips for different dates to different locations and hitting that use points button on whatever, on the 50 different airlines, and finding, and then calculating the, also doing that with a dollar amount, calculating the point value and finding deals. And maybe you find one. That's the best way that I've found. But there is secret knowledge and people know there's Scotch Cheap Flights, which I think is called something else now. But there are things that you can sign up for where they'll give you like last minute, hey, you want to fly for basically free to, you know, Bali? Like you could do that right now. So there are things, services like that, premium services. I'm sure there's lots of like pay-to-play groups. There's a lot of pay-to-play stuff. My uncle, I forget who it is, but he's a part of a group. He pays $1,000 a year and they basically just educate you in all things travel hacking. They have a private Discord group. And they like pretty much guarantee you a certain amount of points in the first year and Southwest Companion Pass. They guarantee you all this stuff. And it worked for him because he, like, I am much more like, you know, roll up my sleeves and figure it all out. And he just is not that guy. And he's like, no, I just would rather this. And he's gotten way more than his $1,000 value out of this group and education and whatever. And it's a really great route for him. I wish I remembered the name of it, but there's things like that out there. So you don't have to like figure it all out yourself. But yeah, that's the struggle is people are going to tell you, don't pull your points out for cash. Don't spend your points on, you know, you spend it on international travel, international flights. It's like, yeah, easy for you to say, but what they're describing, sorry for the loud, tea heating up noise. What they're describing is crazy, you know, deals and stuff that it's just hard to figure out. So I wish I had more for you there. But the best I can tell you is you go on Reddit and you just watch for new posts every day on the travel hacking Reddit. And you just basically wait for people to say, oh, there's cheap United flights to this area. Or there's like business class, Polaris business class United flights to this country in this month right now. But the problem is they'll get scooped up before you even see that. And that's why you really just have to be, I don't know, invested in that. So, all right. That's been a guide. Yeah. Southwest points, I should say, are actually like pretty cool. There's all these little micro games to play. Like, I think you should be playing the Chase game. That's your big play. That's going to be your international travel play. You got to be playing the Chase game. So play that big time. But then on the side, play a Marriott game. There's really, honestly, it's like Canon and Nikon, you know, like as a photographer, you're like, oh, you shoot Canon, you shoot Nikon. Now it's like you shoot Sony frameless as well or mirrorless. But that forever, it's like you were Nikon or Canon. With credit card stuff, I feel like it's your Amex or your Chase because there's people who are like, I mean, there's people who do all of it, but man, to make that work. The Amex Platinum, I don't understand how people can hold this freaking card. It's a $700 a year fee, if that. It might even be more. And their credit, they're like, oh, but you get like $700 in value back. And it's like, yeah, if you spend the $10 a month on DoorDash and the $20 a month on Uber and, you know, but that, like, nobody's doing that. You're blowing money holding this card, and you get access to the Centurion. Oh, I didn't even talk about lounges. It gets you access to the Centurion Lounge, which is awesome and valuable. And that's really cool. That's why people hold the Platinum. People love the Platinum, but I think it's a waste of money. I haven't found it. I want to hold the Platinum. I really do. I have a friend who's in the military, and he doesn't have to pay the fee. So he can just hold the Platinum, and it's like, that dude is living. So anyway, yeah, there's like Chase or Amex. So you play the Chase game. That's your bread and butter. Make sure you're playing that game and playing it well. Oh, another thing to mention is, it seems like you get all the points by just getting these big, you know, redemptions, these big sign-up bonuses. And that's true. That's where you get all the points in this game, not just spending. But spending actually adds up a lot after 10 years when you just spend on the same credit, when every dollar you spend is on the same credit card that gets 1.5 points and then a roving 5%, you know, category points and then 3% on travel with the reserve. You wake up in 10 years and you have 1 million Chase points. That's just like, wait, what? So now you can book the trip of a lifetime and, you know, and it was just as easy as pie. So there is that. So you play the Chase game and then you play these little pocket games. You play the Marriott game on the side and it's become tradition of ours. Like every year we're doing, because you get a free award night. The fee is $95 to hold the Marriott card and they give you one award night every year. That's worth up, I think, 50,000 now. It used to be 35. It might still be 35. So one night a year, but you're going to use that because you're traveling a little bit, right? And Marriott's everywhere and they have cool hotels. So, and they're not just Marriott. Like the Gaylord hotels are not, they, Marriott points work for them, but they're not like branded Marriott. They're actually, the management of the hotel is actually owned by Marriott now. But Marriott owns lots of interesting hotels, not just Marriott hotels. So, those Marriott points, you're going to use that one night a year and you're going to get the swanky place that would have cost you $500. But now it's free because you pay that $95 a year. So you play the Marriott game on the side and then you got your little Southwest game for your domestic travel because Southwest is a great airline. You could do the Delta game. You could do the American game, all that, but whatever. I think the Southwest points game is a good game. Open a Southwest card or two, grab a companion pass and do your domestic travel with Southwest and it's going to be great. There were 5 years of my life where I just flew Southwest for free here's another tip. Buy a credit card binder. So you can get these on Amazon. So I have one, I'm holding it in my hand right now because it's on my desk and I have it segmented out. There's Caleb credit cards. There's business credit cards. There's Hannah credit cards. There's debit cards. And then there's closed cards. And I think it's really important to all your physical cards to keep them in one place. And it's an archive of all your cards and you will need them. I have dozens of cards like right in front of me in this thick binder, random stuff I didn't even remember that I had, but it's a full history of every card I've ever opened. And it's a log of all the current cards I have open. And I can just go back to it like right now and see, okay, here's Hannah's Marriott rewards card. So she is currently holding a Marriott card and I can see the expiration of it and I can see the number and find the number on the back to call if I needed to ask any questions or whatever. So get a binder. The reason I pulled this up was I was saying, how many times have I lost my train of thought in this? There's just so much to talk about. The Southwest cards, yeah. We have tons of Southwest cards. We had. I don't hold any right now. And I should honestly get back into that game, but I'm just more like focused on the fancy international stuff for fun. But yeah, Southwest Rapid Rewards. We got tons of them and companion passes. So play a Southwest game, play a Marriott game, play a Chase game. That's my trifecta. I'm going to be getting into Hyatt game soon because I've been staying at Hyatt's randomly and I'm like, wish I had like points and status. You get status with all these cards too. So I went to check in. So I stayed at a Hyatt in Niagara Falls. Put a check-in, line's super long. Then there's the shortcut for Hyatt Honors Premium Plus Fancy Ass members or something. And I was like, I don't think that's me. I looked in my, like, I didn't, oh, I don't have like a Hyatt login, so whatever. I wait probably 25 minutes and I really did not want to be waiting 25 minutes. And I get up there and she's like, oh, and in the future, you're a Hyatt loyalty, whatever, member. You can just bypass this line. And I was like, no way. Thanks. She's like, yeah. And here's a free bottle of water. And we upgraded your room. And I was like, oh, wow. Thanks. And so it's like a really cool, like high room. And there was, you know, free water in the room that had a big sign out that was like, thank you for being a loyal, blah, 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 blah. Normally we charge $5 for this. Eat this. You can have this for free. So it's dumb, but whatever. It makes you feel special. But yeah, the other thing I wanted to mention is, but well, yeah. So when you get these cards, you end up as like some level of loyalty member on most hotels and a lot of airlines. Now there's like the very premium levels that you need those fancy cards, or you just need to fly a lot with that place or stay a lot at that hotel. But with these cards, you get like a base level of, I think we stayed at one of those Gaylords once, and they gave me like a, oh, you're a Marriott Black Card holder. You get access to our private dining area and, you know, whatever. It's just like cool when you're traveling to have that stuff. So lounges are sick. I'm sure you've heard people talk about airline lounges, but airport lounges, but they are sick. So there's the two big general ones are the Priority Pass Lounge, which you get with the Chase Reserve and a few other cards. And then there's the Centurion Amex Lounge, and that's you get with the Amex Platinum. And, you know, I've never been in a Centurion. I probably won't be in one. But I got the Priority Pass one with the Reserve, and you can bring up to 2 guests, I think. So I'm rolling around with Hannah where they added one in the Buffalo airport. It's this tiny airport and they have a Priority Pass lounge. They're awesome. You go up to the Priority Pass lounge, they let you in, and there's like a buffet and there's like a bar and there's nice bathrooms and relaxing seats. You sit there, just grab a cappuccino, you know, like a hot cappuccino. A lot of them have like food you can even order. We were in the Orlando Priority Pass lounge between flights, sitting in nice chairs. You just feel civilized, you know? And we just opened up the app and ordered like a bowl, you know, like an acai bowl or something. And they brought it to us. And it's just like you're in a like an all-inclusive, like a crappy all-inclusive resort or something for like an hour before your flight or between flights. So now I never sweat going to the airport too early. You know, you're like, oh, they say 2 hours, but I don't want to just sit there for an hour and a half. So like, I'm going to push it, but I don't want to be late. Just do the 2 hours ahead of time and chill in the lounge. You can go like 2 or 3 hours ahead of your flight, I think. So yeah, so when I'm booking flights now, I'm looking to make sure that it's a Priority Pass airport that I'm going through. It's weighted into the equation. So it's like, oh, this is a connect. I have a connecting flight, but it connects in Washington Dulles. Okay, there's a airport there. Oh, that one connects in O'Hare. Not doing that because there's no Priority Pass there. So the lounges are so cool. It makes you feel, it's like, this is how the other half lives, man. It feels awesome. And like I said, I think you take 2 people for free. So when you're traveling, you're usually with your partner, maybe a kid. And then I think kids under 2 are also free. So if you got a baby, a kid, your spouse, you hang out at the Priority Pass lounge and, you know, kid eats a cookie and drinks some milk and plays with an activity book they have. And you sit there and drink a cocktail for free. Yeah. So how cool is that? So that pretty much covers it. This is going to be an hour long episode about travel hacking and points and rewards. I highly recommend it. I think it is an entire asset class on its own, and it adds a lot of enjoyment to your life. It's fun to play the game if you're a nerd in like that stuff, like me, if you like geeking out on it. It's fun to play that game. It tickles that financial funny bone, and it improves the lives of people around you. I've hooked my family up with trips. If you could play the game really hard, I'm a medium level player. I have friends who are hardcore level players, and they're like, all right, we're all going on a cruise. It's on me. It's like, what? You know? And they do that. So you can gift points to people. It's really cool. You just hook people up. Even you don't have to be a rich person at all. You just honestly have to be a poor person because you spend a lot of money on these cards. But yeah, so it just elevates your life. It enhances pretty much every trip you take. It elevates your life because you take more cool trips and your relationship, because trips are good for relationships. You can bless on your spouse. You can bless on your family. Yeah, you just got to not fall into the pits. You got to remember that those annual fees are actual money that can suck all the rewards away over time and you don't realize that you got that $500 bonus when you opened it, but 5 years later you spend $500 on annual you know, fees. So that was a wash. I think I've done that a couple times with cards. You got to keep track of everything. Organize. And Chase points are awesome. Pay attention to your credit score. Don't apply for too many that you won't get. Make sure you have a good chance when you're applying, because you don't want to wreck your credit score with hard pulls on your credit report, which they'll do when you apply for these cards. And never do stupid cards. Don't waste your time on frickin' any retail card. Lowe's, whatever. Maybe there's a world where Lowe's makes sense if you're doing home renovations or something. But no, don't waste anything on those stupid cards. It's the mark of being a stupid person, unfortunately. Don't do that, because the rewards are trash. And now you're just going to have a harder time getting other cards. It's going to make your credit score younger. And then Chase is going to block you out, because you're going to be like, you opened 5 cards in the last 24 months. And you're like, I can't believe I just screwed myself over because I went to Sears and opened a damn card to save $20 on my checkout. You know, it's dumb. Never do it. Cabela's, don't do it. So that's an obvious one, but mentioning it. Yeah. I could talk all day about this. I mean, we do have 4 minutes until this is a full hour. I'll talk more about people to like follow. So the Mad Find, like my era of people is like 10 years old now. It's like a whole new era of travel hacking people. But there's a guy, Chris Higgins, Hutchins, something that I think Nathan Berry's had him on his podcast. He's worked the podcast circuit. He's become kind of like the most famous of the travel hacking people. So he's a good one to find. Sorry, that's all I'm going to give you. I think he's done Tim Ferriss or something, but so find him. But Mr. Money Mustache is what got me into money in general, and he got me into travel hacking too. He's not as like obsessed with it anymore. But there's the Mad Findist. There was Go Curry Cracker for a while. That was a guy I followed who did a bunch of cool travel hacking stuff. But there's tons of them. There's vlogs. There's Reddit is like a hugely important resource. And ChatGPT now is pretty decent at least answering questions, because it's hard to find it. There's a lot of questions you have along the way. Like, you know, do I lose these points if I close this card? Like chat knows a lot and is really helpful for that kind of stuff. And yeah, get a credit card binder to put all these credit cards and make a spreadsheet to organize all your credit cards. And yeah, don't actually spend on cards and not pay it off right away. Just use it as a tunnel that all your money travels through, not a bank where it sits. And I don't know, there's probably more to say about it. But that's it. All right, we'll cut it. Thanks for hanging out. I hope you learned something about credit cards.